All right. Anybody tell me what we were talking about last Sunday?
Blood
the blood covenant. Can anybody just tell me what that word covenant means? Was that word bereath, what does it mean? Cut till the blood flows. That's what covenant means. Covenant brothers. We need to know this about the blood and that it flowed. We know more. We're schooled more in the mind on contracts, written contracts. You do a contract when you buy your house, when you buy a car, and it's usually 10, 15, 20 pages. You're putting your initials. I agree to this. I agree to this. I agree to this. But then what happens, you know, not speaking this out, I'm just saying, what happens if you get sick and you can't work or you lose your job, and then guess what? Your name is still on that contract, but then we have ways of getting out of that contract, of having it annulled. Think about a marriage contract. Then you have a divorce. See, man, God says, let not man put us under in that marriage covenant. But see, man has come up with ways, our lawyers, laws, all kind of laws to how we can get out of this contract. And just a good plug to put in here, I don't like what was determined yesterday about North Carolina's same-sex marriage laws. That's not God's laws. It'll never happen in this church because we love people, we love God, and then that's not coming in. I don't care what man says. I'm not rebelling against it, but I'm not submitting to it. Amen? And we just got to keep it black and white, plain and simple, between man and a woman. And don't look at the TV and think that the world's winning. It might, in their standards, in their eyes, they might be winning, but in God's eyes, they're losing. Amen? Amen. Talking about the blood covenant. And that was just a little review there about that word. It means cut to the blood flows, that word bereath. And we talked about that. We talked about the origin, how it originated, the origins of the blood covenant. First introduced in the Garden of Eden, when God killed the animals, the blood flowed. He made skins for Adam and Eve instead of the fig leaves. See, that was man's choice. Man's wisdom was to make fig leaves. God said, no. This is why you need to know this. This is just something the Holy Spirit gave me. An animal's blood was sacrificed because the life is in the blood. We were separated from the life of God. So the blood had to be shed, life for life. But see, that animal does not have the Spirit of God in it. Therefore, that animal's sacrifice would only last for a year. And a priest had to stand and take this blood. The priest, which represents God, there's a spirit. That priest represented God. The blood represented the life, which covered the life that was lost to sin. The wages of sin is death. Death had to be paid for. A life had to be taken. The animal's life was taken, which was an innocent animal. That's the key. The animal's life was innocent. There's nothing that animal did that made us commit sin. So that life, an innocent life, blood had to flow to cover the sin of man. Okay, that's the key. But that animal could never be the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus had to come because he was the very life of God, the very Spirit of God, the very breath of God, and he was the very innocent Lamb of God. See, That's why in the Old Testament you read they sacrificed. They had to kill all these animals, and everyone had to do it to represent that blood covenant. Blood had to flow. The sin debt had to be paid for, and through an animal sacrifice it only lasted a year, the year of atonement. So that's some origins, how it kind of originated. I want to just remind you of another one that reminds us about this in Revelation 13, verse 8. Revelation chapter 13. Now try to take your mind out of this, because the mind is always enmity against God. It don't want to receive nothing, but we have the mind of Christ if you've been born again. And it's not in your head, it's in your spirit. His mind is in your spirit. In verses 13:8 says, and this was after the beast was talking about, John was saying this beast that was going to be set up here, this kingdom was going to be set up here on the earth. And it's talking about all these great things that was going to be happening. I'm not talking about God's things. I'm talking about great things that the devil, the beast system, was going to be doing and operating in. And these are those that don't have the mark of God on their forehead, but the mark of the beast. And it says in verse 8, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, talking about the beast, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain when? Before the foundations of the earth. That Lamb was Jesus Christ. His blood, this is where you got to get a hold of a spiritual truth. Jesus offered his blood before he was even slain. He had to make a choice because he was God to say, I will be that lamb. I will let my blood flow. Before he even had earthly blood in this body, he made a covenant with God and sealed it by faith. He's a faith God. God's a God of faith and he's a God of covenant. And he cut the blood before he even decided, before we were even here. Amen. Before God even spoke us into existence, him and Jesus agreed. Now, we're not God, right? So don't be thinking about why. Just thinking about thank you. Because don't try to put yourself, elevate ourselves up here to God to why he did all this stuff. Except because of his great pleasure and because of his love, he did all this because he wanted somebody to love him back. That's why he created us. He never created us to suffer and go through all the stuff that we're going through. That's another being that he created decided he wasn't good enough that God created him. That's Lucifer's fault. See, I always want to let you know there's an enemy out there and it's not God. And I can't answer all your questions, but I can answer that. God's good and the devil's evil. Add an O to God, you got good. Take something away, the devil's always coming to steal. Take a D off, devil, you got evil. Teach our kids that. That's all they need to know as far as basic foundation. That'll take us a long way. Amen? All right. That's how the blood covenant came in. Before Jesus even came, he agreed. Another one, what we do know about the origin is that there, and this was taken out of one of the books, I think it was written by E.W. Kenyon and was called the Blood Covenant. It says, there is not a primitive people in the world that have not practiced some form. It ain't the right form, but there's been some kind of nation, primitive people in all the world, they have practiced this covenant somewhere. And it all stems from Jesus. We were created by him in the beginning. When they spoke, Jesus was speaking. The worlds were framed and came into existence by him, by Jesus. So, even though we wasn't here and we're born into this earth, on the inside of us, there's a spirit of God, whether it's alive or dead to him, that knows I came from him. Now, if you're not serving him, you're going to reject that because of your mind, because of that separation, because of sin. But we have the word of God that lets us know. We have a covenant. This is a covenant. That God loves us. Amen. Amen? And is speaking to us. I love you. No matter what you did, no matter what you're going to do, I love you. God loves you. Jesus signed it in red in the Bible. And when he cut it before the Bible, he signed it in red in his blood that he loves us. Period. Amen? And other people, they knew that before. Primitive people knew it. But they didn't cry out to it. Because even it talks about in Romans how that the whole creation cries out there's a God. The sun, the moon, the stars, the plants, animals show affection created by our Creator. Amen. Another origin that came about, and we're familiar with this, is God and Abraham. Abraham was called a friend of God. He calls us friend. Let's look in Genesis 15. Now, I don't know if we'll get much out of that. Because I told y'all this is going to be a series, right? To be continued. Genesis chapter 15. The book of beginnings. It is evident in Genesis 15 when God came to Abraham. Now listen to what I'm saying. Everybody hold your fingers yet. It's evident when God came to Abraham that a covenant was something that Abraham understood. How do you understand something? Well, how do we understand something? We've been taught something. So see, covenant was not something Abraham caught. It was something he was taught. Faith is not something I catch. Faith is something I teach. Amen? When Paul told Timothy, he said about his grandmother, was it Eunice? He didn't catch faith from Eunice. He was taught faith from his grandmother. That maybe might be saying his mother maybe didn't teach him faith. But thank God for grandma. Amen? There's always somebody in your family that, or maybe not in your immediate family, but a friend, an acquaintance, somebody that has a covenant with God that God's going to get across your path. And if that don't happen, even he's created the heavens and the earth, cries out, there's a God that wants to cut covenant with you. That's who God is. None of us, nobody, saved or damned, is going to stand before God and say, God, you didn't give me a choice. He's just. And I just choose to trust him, and I'm not going to worry about what men's saying that God hasn't done. He's not fair. No, I'm going to stick with the Bible. Because God has revealed himself to me by power in my life. And that's to what he does. He reveals himself by signs and wonders. But you got to believe that. You got to believe he'll do it. When he cuts covenant, when God says something, it's a covenant word. I cannot lie. He cannot lie. And he said some things. And I'm going to read here. I'm going to start in verses 15. And y'all just follow along with me. After these things, and this is after Abram had went and got Lot back from the kings that had came and kidnapped him and his wives and his children and took everything he had from his nephew Lot. Abram, guess what? We're not supposed to be satisfied when the devil comes and steals against our families. There's supposed to be a righteous indignation on the inside of us that rises up. And Abram took his men that were trained of war and went out and got Lot, his family, and his goods and came back. And then the king of Sodom wanted to go out and say, oh, thank you, Abram. He knew he was a peculiar person. He wasn't like Lot. And he wanted to give him an offering. And Abram said, I don't want nothing, even your shoestring. I want my people. He said, because I don't want nobody to say that the king of Sodom bless me. He says, God, Jehovah, he is my covenant father. He has given me all these things. He gave me the victory. Amen. And after that, this is when Abram came down and said, him and God's having a conversation. Abram met Melchizedek. Melchizedek actually went out to meet Abram. See, the king of Sodom went out to meet Abram because he wanted to, you know, you need to have at least this, Abram, because you went out here and got this great spoil back to us. But Abram said, no, you ain't where my source flows from. He didn't want that. And when you honor God, guess what? God will honor you. He says he'll bring you before princes and kings. He said, let the humble be humble before God, and he'll exalt you in due season. It don't say how long here between verse 14, 24, and chapter 15. But it says, after this, after these things, I don't know how long the after was, but that's between you and God. Amen? Abram and Lot might have had to walk or ride back to Sodom, and it took them a while. Give you time to think. Amen? Abram's thinking about some things. I just had a king offer me a lot of stuff, but something on the inside of me said, I don't want it. It was the Spirit of God that Abram had been taught. That God, that don't sound like a God thing. Where was this man at when I was out here fighting for his family? Where was this cowardly king then? Or what was he doing? No, he had a covenant with God, and he went out and took the battle, took the war, took the victory. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Visions are okay. Expect to see a vision from God. Hear a vision. See things. Do not be afraid. Fear not. This is October month, October 31st. We know a lot what the world is doing. Don't go to the haunted trails. Don't Because guess what? There's no faith in it. It's all fear-based. Just stay away from it. It's not going to edify you one bit. I've been there, done that, and was running the race and was losing every time. Stay in the faith race. Just stay away from anything that's embedded in fear. Because the Bible says, fear not. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Amen. Not this king of Sodom. I am. The I am, it says, I am your shield. Your exceedingly great reward. Amen. See, he was thinking about that reward, but God says, I'm exceedingly great above that. Yes. Praise God. See, Abram made a right choice. He hit that right door. That wasn't God's best. This is God's best. God's actually giving him a vision and showing him and saying to him. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me? Seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring, no children. Indeed, one born in my house, he's my heir. And it wasn't of Sarah. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Boy, that's faith coming right now. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now this is a vision. This is not Abraham, because God appeared to him in a vision. So I'm going with, this is probably still in the vision, that Abraham is in the vision. God says, now go out here and look up at the stars. Without a vision, the people perish. You've got to have a vision. God knew he had to see something to hang on to this promise. So shall your descendants be. And he believed. See, he made a choice. I'm going to believe God. I believe this vision. And he believed in the Lord, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Amen. You made the right choice, Abraham. Amen. And God's taking account of that. When you make a right choice and do what God says, God's accounting righteousness unto you. Account. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit this land? What did Mary say to the angel? How shall I conceive? How can I do this? That's okay to ask questions. Just don't doubt. He just wants to know the plan. All right, and then my next question. Okay, Lord, give me the plan. You have the vision. What comes next? The plan. Okay, God's going to give you a plan. And he said, Lord God, somebody needs to know that. God's giving you a vision. He's also going to give you the plan. So listen to him, write down that plan, and then believe it. Believe God that you've seen that vision, and it is God, because if it's God's word, you'll have peace in your heart. Let that peace, shalom, let it be the umpire. I've had to make some decisions here, and I've got the peace of God. Now that word umpire means let it rule. I've got to know that. I'm putting my trust in him. Okay, God, now you've got to make it come to pass. And that's his vision, not mine. And if it's God's vision, guess what? He'll bring it to pass. If it's not God's vision, I got to bring it to pass. And I am weak. And I am not strong enough to do God's will. Amen. That's where you get this guy, put your hands out and say, Lord, it's not me, it's you. You got me out the boat. Now I got to walk on this water. You know, that's God's part. He just told me to get out of the boat. You got to be willing to get out of the boat first, right? Yeah. Peter was willing. He out of 11, he was willing to get out of the boat. The other ones, they just wanted to sink. They just wanted to stay in the boat. It was sinking. Man, get out the boat. At least you could swim. You can't swim in a sinking boat. I guess you could try. I guess that's where that cliche comes down. The captain goes down with the boat, right? Well, Jesus was not the captain of a sinking boat. Amen. He's the captain of the Lord of hosts, of the angels of heaven. And he's your captain. And he says, get out on the boat of faith. Walk on water if you have to. I'll make you walk on water. You've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You can walk on this water. Amen. Praise God. Yes. And he's a covenant. He says, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And we come on through here in verse 7:8. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, turtle dove, young pigeon. And he brought all these things to him. Now here's where we're getting into the covenant. And he brought all these things to him and cut them in two. Now that's like I say, God loves animals. I love animals. But they don't have a spirit. Remember that. They did suffer that pain real quick because they have a soul. They still suffer pain. They have affection. He cut them down the middle and placed each piece opposite. Think about this right here. I'm coming down here, got these lambs, and you know, I got to think he's probably got some family. He's got to have some help. You can't go grab all these animals, cut them, and I'm thinking he probably, I'm just parrot, it's not in here, but I'm thinking he had some help. How would Abram learn how to do a covenant if he didn't have some help, if he was helping somebody? Think about, a heifer is not a small animal. A heifer is a heifer. It's a big cow. I'd say big cow. You got to have a big sword. You got to have a big something to cut this heifer down the middle. Get a picture of it. Right down the middle. And lay the pieces, one over here and one over here. And he's just doing his sacrifice. Down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And that's in, I don't have the scripture there, but birds were considered unclean, so they were not in this sacrifice. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. There's the devil trying to get into this stuff again. See, that just represents the devil. He's coming, blood, meat. He wants to be a part. He's coming to try to take away from this. But Abram, you got to drive the devil. He has no part in your covenant relationship with God. He has no part. He drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. I know another man in the Bible, a deep sleep came upon him. Who was it? Adam. Adam. What did he take from Adam? And what did he make with that rib? And what did he do after he brought the woman to the man? And they became marriage covenant. Covenant. Taking from, put him in a deep sleep, took something from him, and then gave him something back. And I talked about that synergy. Two forces just as much in union with God. That's some power there. Power in marriage covenant. And if you're not married, if you're single, you are married to God. You are no less. Amen? Because in spirit, there's neither gender, male nor female. You're married to the Lord. You're married to God. And he drove him, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep came upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, God even cries out in your darkest moment. God is still speaking. And he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, talking about the children of Israel. And it will serve them, talking about Pharaoh, and they will afflict them 400 years. God knew what was happening in the future, but he's just like Jesus did. He was cutting a covenant that they would have a release, an escape, an exodus 400 years prior before it happened. Why did God wait 400? Why did he let them go through? Because of sin. Sin had to be judged in the Old Testament. You reap what you sow. It took 400 years. A lot of sin in the earth, right? A lot of suffering. Sin caused suffering. It causes disease. He will afflict them 400 years, and also the nation whom they serve. Am I going to judge it? No, God says, I will judge. He's going to judge Pharaoh. All those little G's gods he was serving and causing his people to be afflicted because of serving the devil. And the devil wasn't even mentioned. It was the gods of Pharaoh, which is, we know, we have the spiritual insight, it's the devil. I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with what? Somebody help me. Great possessions. Well, I thought Abram gave up great possessions when he came out. That God, he wanted to give them all these things. But Abram chose to be in covenant with God and honor God. And it blessed his children's children's children. See, what you're doing today, when you gave today, just don't be looking at 100 times, okay, yeah, in this lifetime for me, but guess what? There's a seed on the inside of me. And I'm done. I'm talking about kids now. 2004, Rome was born. There's no more. Amen. I had to do something. I had to operate in faith. I had to go to the doctor. Hey, we tell you the truth here. God says be fruitful, multiply, period. There ain't no stopping until you stop or till she stops. And we know he's not going to stop because he said be fruitful, multiply. People want to know why people that are having babies or don't even serve God and they won't even take care of them, they put them in a dilly dumpster. Because God said if you be fruitful, you will multiply. He ain't going to stop that birth because she's not going to take care of that baby. Then God would be a liar. That answers one question. Why would God let such a sad thing happen? He didn't. What's worse, the lady not even being able to have children or to have children and they go out and just throw them away? What's the best of the two evils? Well, God, there is no evil. He said, be fruitful, multiply. Amen? Where was I at? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Great possessions, 14, right? Your children and your children's children are God's great possessions. The best thing you can give them is the Word of God. Let them know that you have a covenant with God and they have a covenant with God, but they've got to make a choice when they get older to serve God. That's how you stay at the covenant table, by serving Him. And you do that by coming to Christ, because Jesus Christ is the center of the table. Ladies, you think about a centerpiece to your table? Jesus, when we take communion, He is the centerpiece of that table. It's where all our blessings. He is that great shield. He is my great shield. He is my great possessions. And when I have Him, I have possessions of heaven and earth. Amen. Yes. We're not even going to get out of the origin of the blood covenant today. Thank you, Lord. Verse 16, in your fourth generation, they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. See, God's letting Abram know in a vision. He's not talking to his mind. He's talking to his spirit. He had to put the mind to sleep. When God speaks to you, a lot of times things come at night. It's because your mind is at sleep. Well, God, I actually would say our mind's not at that deep sleep that Abram had. When you're having a vision from God, I'm telling you, God's probably taking control of your mind. As far as when I say control, He's controlling it to keep it away from your spirit right now. I'm saying something. He's quieting your mind. That's a deep, deep sleep. When you're just getting a vision, this is a vision from God. And I still believe in visions. The Bible says old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall have visions. I want to have a vision. I'm a young man. Old man's dream dreams. Y'all determine. You want a dream or you want a vision? Both. Just take both. If God calls me old, that's a good old. If God says I'm old, I'm old. If He says it. Not if I say it. If He says it. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, there appeared. This is after he's still in this vision. He's cut these animals in two. Blood is everywhere. Blood is flowing. There's a covenant going on. And it came to pass when the sun went down, talking about the natural sun, but there's another sun coming up. There's darkness in this vision, but there's another sun arising. It's the sun. There appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between the two pieces. Anybody see the fourth? There's a fourth man in the oven, thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But there's a fourth man in the furnace. They had a covenant with God. It was Jesus. Amen. He even said, it's like the Son of God. A man didn't even have a covenant with God, but his spirit knew, that's Jesus. Like one that appeared like the Son of God down there. He didn't know his name, but he knew he had to do something with God. And on that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. What's the next word? He made a covenant with Abram. What? And said. Saying. See, you got the animal's been cut. The blood is flowing. And then you got to speak life. You got to say something. When two covenant brothers come into covenant, they just don't sit there and look at each other. They say something. One says something. The other says something. That's called an agreement. And then they cut. Then the blood's flowing. It's not a contract. It's deeper than a contract. On that same day, God made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants, Now you say, well, I thought he was going to make a covenant with Abraham. He didn't say Abram. Why didn't he say Abram? He said, to your descendants. If he's going to have descendants, guess what? He's going to have a child. He didn't say, Abram, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him such and such. And he said, to your descendants, four generations. He's showing him his future. If God can show you the future, you've got a vision. You got hope. The Word of God will show you hope. It'll give you hope. He believed. The covenant was cut. Blood was flowing. And he said, your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. He answered his questions, but he showed him his future. Man, when I give, I'm just not receiving in this earth. My children are going to be blessed by God, whether I stay and go by the grave or Jesus comes tomorrow. So that means if they're going to be blessed in the future, and they're going to live with me at least 18 years before they even come, that means I have a provision, right? Amen. That's a weak one now. So you got to believe this by faith, and then you got to drive the devil away. You got to keep him out of the covenant. He's always going to come around for when something's dead. Guess what? God's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. He has no. You drive him away from the covenant. You keep him out of. This is not your covenant. We're going to end right there, and I'm still on the first page, but I want to show you just a little bit more because you got the picture of all these animals. Cut in half, laying side by side. And I don't know, it probably tells us how many animals. But there's a lot of animals, bodies, carcasses laying there, birds, vultures flying around, blood flowing. Yeah. Then Jesus shows up as the fire of God. And he walks with Abraham. Walks with Abraham through the way, the pathway. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Yes. Yes. He came in covenant with Abraham that day. Not in the natural body, but in the spirit. But the blood was flowing because that blood represented the life of that animal. So Jesus came in through the spirit because he had already agreed before the foundations of the world the lamb was going to be slain. So he had to be right there in that covenant because God can't lie. And he is the way. The truth and the life. And you have a covenant with God. You're born again. That same spirit that came down and bore witness to the blood. Pastor Gary talked about that when he's here, the blood and the water. That same spirit came down and bore witness with Abraham is that same spirit that dwells on the inside of us now. And he is our great shield. He is our awesome healer. And Michelle is here today to give him glory. And he is in covenant with her and Mark that there's finances involved in surgery. And guess what? The same God that gives you a spirit has also given y'all natural brains. And he's going to give Mark and Michelle the wisdom, and they're going to know steps they need to take to make sure that they are compensated here on the earth. Spirit, soul, and body. But they have something to say. They got to come in agreement and agree on some things. Maybe write them down, and they might both have some things they need to write down and then get together, sit down at the table, and invite Jesus in. He's already there, but just invite him into the conversation. Amen? He don't never leave us, but do we always invite him into the conversation? Do we do the talking? Do we let him do some talking? We do some listening. So a lot of our communion time is just throne time, just sit there and just worshiping, put some music on, and hear from God. And when you get that word, write it down. That's your plan. Might not have the whole plan figured out yet, but God does. And he'll give you one step of that plan, and it's been signed in the blood of Jesus. It's a never-ending covenant because Jesus is from everlasting to everlasting. And that's where the everlasting covenant talks about comes from. Because we serve the Creator, the God of the universe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give him some time right now. Let's let the Holy Spirit minister right now. Let's just worship him right now. Lord, we just thank you. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Lord, we just worship you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your spirit today. Oh, Oh, Jesus, we just worship you. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your blood. Lord, you are worthy today. Lord, your blood is worthy that cries out from heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for the life that you've given us. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your ministry here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your blood covenant. Lord, we thank you for your great and mighty promises you have given us in your word. I'm speaking generally here. And Lord, I just thank you. It don't matter if you're young or old. Don't look at your age and think that God can't bless you exceedingly abundantly. But the Bible says, according to the power that works in you, whether young or old, you've got to say something to this covenant. You've got to say to your bank account. You've got to say to the government that I serve another one whose government, Jesus, he is the one I serve. And his government is upon his shoulder. And my blessings flow through him to me. And he'll use whatever he needs to get my blessing to me. You've got to know that. But you got to say that. And let God, and remind God of his covenant that he cut. In the Bible, he says, command ye me concerning the works of my hands. He says, command ye me. You are the workmanship of God. We have been created in Christ Jesus. And God says, it's okay to give me some things to do. Tell him what you need him to do. And thank him for it in advance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you right now, Holy Spirit, that there's some of you in here, God's going to show you some visions. He's going to give you some visions. He might already have given you some visions. Don't write a book. I ain't saying if you need to write a book, write a book. But what I'm saying is pray about that vision. Meditate upon that vision. And get the plan and write it down, because mainly it's going to be a plan for you or your children or your children's children. They're involved in that. That's your future. God says the vision is for an appointed time. There's an appointed time. Don't try to rush God's plan, but do get your words out there and know that you're in covenant. Know that God hears you. Because the devil, you have an enemy. You gotta drive him away. That's what Abraham did. You get to drive the buzzards away from your covenant promises. Amen. Amen. Don't let that sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't let the devil come in there, and don't get complacent with those little things in your life. We got to drive them out. Don't let our sun go down on that wrath. Stand stirred up about the things of God. When we see evil, we're not supposed to let that sun go down. Stay stirred up about that. Jesus, he took a whip, whipped some stuff. Amen. And that was in church. He was whipping people in church. Praise God. We're not talking about child abuse. He wasn't abusing people. He was whipping them. Praise God. And I'm sure it done some good, because when God gets the whip out, it's too late. People have not been listening when he gets the whip out, right? And that don't mean you don't have to say some things. You got to say some things vocally to remind God, because the devil's going to, if you don't vocalize it, then he's going to hang around. He's going to fly around.
I have a victory over him.
Amen. That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's right. It's the blood. That's that blood covenant. You have to be. Abram possessed that on the inside of him, and he went out. So now I'm taking victory over here. You're right. We're not coming from victory. I mean, we're not out there looking for victory. We're coming from victory, because Jesus has defeated death, hell, and the grave. We're not trying to get victory. We're enforcing victory.
Amen.
We are enforcers.
Amen.
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 Amen. And we know there's finances involved in surgeries. And Mark and Michelle are going to enforce their covenant right. Everything that Jesus has, you have.
Yes.
And everything that you have in covenant, now he has.
Yes.
So he is obligated to take his part. And what is our part? To enforce our covenant rights. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's our part. Praise him. Hallelujah. When the praises go up, the blessings come from within into our lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Receive this blessing. I thank you, Father. I just bless your people today. As they go out, Lord, they will be enforcers of the covenant that you have given them, Father. They are strengthened by your word today. And we thank you, Father God, that as we walk out of these doors, Lord, we are stepping up to the blessings you have for us out here in this earth, Father. And we just command your blessings to come into our lives. And we break the power of the devil. I break the power of the devil right now over anybody's finances or any stronghold he has in your mind right now. God says, you have his mind. You have the mind of God. You have the mind of Christ. And be strengthened in your inner man knowing that. And go out and be a blessing. Let the smile that Darius has be on us continually. And let that glory show that there is a God that loves. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
So be it.
So be it.
Hallelujah. 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 Be blessed today. Amen.